right, here we go, here we go. As always, I'm so thankful you're here. So, you know, over these past few weeks, what I've enjoyed doing as we get into our mastermind series, I'm going to explain what the series is about, but we're going to have some fun and answer some questions. It's going to be some real good questions today, so I'm excited about that. So, if it's your first time hanging out with us here for our mastermind series, what we've been talking about is there's a phrase our grandparents, our mentors, our parents, our coaches, everyone said to us, and it was the phrase, it's all in your head. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm honest about myself, if it's all in my head, man, there's no telling what you'll see, right? Like, there's some craziness in my head, but really, when we talk about it all being in your head, the important thing to see is what if that's not a bad thing? What if we could take captive the thoughts that are in our head and it actually propels us to be all that Jesus created us to be? And that's what we're talking about through this series called Mastermind. So today we're going to be talking about identity. Before we get there, I want to answer some questions. So you're going to see Mastermind up on the screen. So I want to ask you this as we see folks moving. Excuse me. Got sinus issues, so you're going to see me do something I shouldn't do. I touched my mouth. Pray for me. I'm sorry about that. So it's all right. I know in this season we're not supposed to do that, so I had to grab a cough drop. Sorry. So here we go. The first question that I want us to answer. I've had so much fun learning and reading these comments, so here we go. We're going to learn some things from each other today. The first question is this. If you could be any movie character, who would you be? Any movie character. Any movie character. No wrong answer. Fictional, real, any movie character, who would you be? Now, for me, if I'm honest, I'm probably Dennis the Menace. Like, that's probably my movie character growing up. If you know, you know. That's probably who I really, really am. But if I could pick any movie character, for real, Batman. Who doesn't want to be Batman? Batman is awesome. I know growing up, we used to have a good time watching Batman. I'm not talking the Adam West version. I'm talking Michael Keaton. I'm talking, and my mother will know, we laughed growing up. Jack Nicholson as the Joker saying, the reason I liked Batman is because he had those wonderful toys. Like, where does he get those wonderful toys? Like, who doesn't love Batman? Like, if I could be any movie character, I would love to be Batman, right? Like, that's just me. That's just how I roll. Now, no wrong answer there. So here we go. Now, if you know anything about me, movies are great, but I tend to like books. So as I tend to like books, here we go. So if you could be any book character, real or fiction, who would you be? Those that don't read, that's a tough one. They're going way back. I know. I'm going to go way back with mine, too. It's okay. So if you could be any movie character, who would you be? And if you could be any book character, who could you be? Honestly, if I was a book character, I'm probably Max from Where the Wild Things Are. Does anybody remember that book, From Where the Wild Things Are? Great book. One of the best picture books, I think, of all time. And if you know anything about Max, it's about him being angry and he's pouting. And so he goes to his wild side. And then when he goes and works through his anger, dinner is waiting on him when he goes through the wild side, where the wild things are. If you know, you know. I'm just saying, that's the nerd in me. So I'm probably Max. If I really wanted to be someone, it would be Chris from the Polar Express. You know that, Chris Van Allsburg, awesome book, Polar Express, because I still hear the bell ring, I still believe. So I would love to say, if I could be anyone, it'd probably be Chris from the Polar Express. But if I'm really honest, if there's any book character I would want to be, you're ready for my Christian answer. It's not. It's okay. So get ready. If there's any character I would really love to be from any book, it would probably be The Giving Tree. We read that a couple weeks ago. We talked about that. We walked through this as we talked about in our series. He's still got the whole world in his hands. I would love to be The Giving Tree. It's such a picture of Jesus. There it went. You knew I would have to throw that in there. But The Giving Tree, Shel Silverstein, awesome children's book. As you can see, I chose all children's books. Like, I remember those. Those were awesome books. So if I could be any book character, that's who I would be. But the real question that I want to answer and we're going to unpack today is what's going to have to do with this mastermind as we talk about identity is this. And this is a rhetorical question. If you could be any version of yourself, which version would you be? Past, present, or future? Any version of yourself, which version would you be? And so that's what we're going to be unpacking today as we talk about our thoughts and how it relates to identity. So if you've got your Bible today, we're going to start in the same place where we've been starting every week throughout this series, in 2 Corinthians 10, as Paul is writing this letter to the Corinthian church. And we're going to be, it's a familiar verses, so we're going to have that. If you're watching throughout the week, I love our Vine production team. We'll make sure the scripture is on screen, or if you're here in front of me, it's going to be on the screen here as well. Or if you're listening throughout the week, we love partnering with the Bible app so you can follow along with us. So I want to show you how you can do that today really quickly. What you want to do is, first and foremost, download the Bible app from your favorite app store. Once you do that, you want to open it up. Once you open it up, you want to click on the More tab. Once you click on the More tab, make sure you click on Events. Once you click on Events, go to Location. Make sure your Location Services are on. You're going to see the Vine TV Worship Experience. See the title of today's message, Mastermind Identity. You're going to see all the scripture we're going to walk through, a place for you to take notes, but also a place for you to connect with us throughout the week. So if you've got your Bible, let's get to 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 through 5, as we talk about this concept of identity. Verse 3. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. So remember, strongholds throughout this entire series, we're going in the strongholds we're demolishing. When we look at strongholds, it is the regular, consistent, unbroken thought patterns that blind us to any other possibility. So when we look at strongholds in this concept, it is the regular, consistent, unbroken thought patterns that blind us to any other possibility, okay? So that's the stronghold we're going to be looking at demolishing today that Paul is talking about in verse 4. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. And so today, how we're going to walk through demolishing a stronghold is we're going to talk about this idea of identity. This idea of identity. So, if I said identity, how many people could define it? It's hard to define, right? So I did what all of us do, and I Googled it. So identity, let's look at what the definition of identity is, and it's this. The fact of being who or what a person or thing is. The fact of being who or what a person or thing is. That's the definition of an identity. The fact of being who or what a person or thing is. And the reason that this is important is, if we're completely honest, we will spend our entire life trying to discover and find out who we are. Right? Like, we all want to answer that question, who am I? But we can't really do that as we get through life, right? Because we spend the whole time in this discovery of trying to find out who we are, who our identity is. And so we've got to unpack that today, because if we really look at this, identity is both objective and subjective, right? The fact of being who or what a person or thing is. It's objective in this. Objectively, my name is Tyler West. Objective. That's not going to change. I can go to court and change my last name, but I'm still the DNA of my mother and the DNA of my father brought together. That does not change. Objectively, it's who I am. Yet at the same time, subjectively, our idea of identity is who I believe I am. And now sometimes those are at odds with each other, aren't they? And that's what we have to reconcile today, because as we see from the definition of this, our identity is always in something or someone. So I'm going to do this, and I'm going to try to make sure I don't blind you. So hang in here with me. If you're watching online, hang in here with me. So I introduced this concept last week. So our idea of self, our idea of identity for each of us, is literally a social construct. So hang in here with me. I'm going to say this a couple times. Our idea of identity is a social construct of the mirrors others hold up to us and what they say about us when they do it. Hang in here one more time. Easy example. emperor's new clothes. Everyone told the emperor he wasn't naked, but he was naked, right? He believed that he was clothed because the mirrors that were held up to him by everyone else said 100% he was clothed, even though he really wasn't. That's what we're going to unpack today, is our identity of self. So in other words, if I hold this up, trying to make sure I'm not blinding anyone, if I hold a mirror up to you and I talk to you about it, or if I hold up a mirror to myself, it affects my identity. As a matter of fact, I believe there are three mirrors that we struggle with inside of our life. There are three mirrors that define our identity, and it's first the mirror of culture. And when we look through the mirror of culture in the life that we're living right now, when we look through this mirror of culture, where we can get stuck is oftentimes this mirror of culture will be broken or hazy. It's always changing. It's a fog. It seems like, and the reason I know that is, who would have thought the culture of 2020 would be where it is right now? Who thought when they were planning out 2020 at the end of 2019 that the culture would be where it is now? It's broken and foggy. And we don't know what it's going to look like tomorrow. Not only do we define our identity many times from the mirror of culture, but the mirror of experience. The mirror of experience. And it's often distorted by our emotions. What I mean by that is, think of going to the fair. And remember the hall of mirrors? You would always walk into it. Which one did you stop at? The one you like the best, right? The tall, skinny version? The short, pudgy, fat one? Or like the one that was the real mirror that you was like, that's not me, right? Like, it was how you felt about yourself. So you've got the mirror of culture that's always broken or hazy. You've got the mirror of your experience where you're walking through life and it's distorted or warped by how we feel about it, how we feel about an experience negatively or positively. We also have the mirror of relationships in our life that can oftentimes, when we're in relationships, literally relationship, you're looking to be married. If you are married, you're literally, anytime you get mad about your spouse, just realize they're holding up a mirror to you, and it's probably you that they're talking about. Because marriage is a reflection to each other. You see, when you're in a relationship, whether it's friendship, marriage, whatever that looks like, the mirror of relationships oftentimes in your life will be warped by the motive of the person holding up the mirror. How many of us have been in abusive relationships where they held up that mirror and said something terrible about you and you believed it? So many times, the thing that I want to talk to us about is identity is a reflection of what we see in the mirror. How do I know this? You get up in the morning. What's the first thing you do if you brush your teeth or do anything else? You look in the mirror. You see what you look like. Then you go put your clothes on. You know, you get all ready to go. Hopefully you do. Praise Jesus. You get your clothes on. And if you don't like or feel good about what you're wearing, you go change it, don't you? And then you go, what do you do after you change it? You look back in the mirror. So today, when we need to talk about our concept of identity, this is the big thing. We're going to be reading from God's word here in a minute. But the big thing is this. I want you to get this today if you get nothing else. The only mirror you should be looking through is the mirror of Jesus. It is the clearest mirror you will ever see yourself in and the reflection of who you really are in. Not the mirror of culture that says you're this race or this class or this bank account or this address or this car driver. Not the experience that you went through that was traumatic, awful, the one maybe you caused or the one you went through. You are not defined by that. In Christ Jesus, you were set free from that. And it's not the mirror of your relationships and what everyone says about you. Hello, social media. It's not that. Today, if you get nothing else out of today, I want you to know your identity as you step out of this place needs to be a reflection of the mirror of Jesus Christ, because it's the only one that will give you the truth, the only one that will give you a clear picture. But so many times, we don't realize that's never the mirror we look in first, is it? So that's the stronghold we're going to break today. So if you've got your Bible, one more time, we're going to be talking through Paul. Just flip to the right a little bit to the book of Ephesians, the book of Ephesians. And Paul is writing the church in Ephesus here. And it's Ephesians 4, verse 17 through 24. And we're going to continue talking about this idea of identity and this mirror. So here we go. Verse 17. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do And the futility of their what? Thinking. Their thinking. How they thought was a reflection of their identity and a reflection of who they thought they were. Now we're going to see what this plays out for us. They are darkened in their understanding, their thinking, and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts, having lost all sensitivity. James talks about it, about a man who is foolish, who looks in the mirror and forgets what his appearance is right when he walks away. The brother of Jesus, James, writes that. So like, this is, Paul is going back to that as well. He's saying, hey, they've lost sensitivity to what they look like in the mirror. They don't care if colors clash. They don't care what they look like. They look great and they know it. You know, they got their hair done. Music on. Never mind, whatever. All right, so having lost all sensibility, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as not to indulge in every kind of impurity. They are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned. You heard about Christ, and were taught in him accordance with the truth, the mirror, Jesus is the truth, that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your formal way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of what? Your mind. So when you put off your old self, it's going to change your thinking. And what does that do? You put on your new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So what is Paul talking about when he says, I take off my old self and I put on my new self? So what does it mean to put on your new self? If I remember right, somewhere it's like Romans 13. So don't quote me. I could be wrong here. Romans 13, Paul talks about this same concept. And the Greek word for that is enduo. E-N-D-U-O, enduo. And what it means is to be clothed in, to be clothed in Christ, to put on your new self. What that means for us is we think of it as wearing clothes or our outfit. But what it really means in the Greek is to sink into. Think of it this way. When sports kick back up, how do we tell the difference between two teams? The color of their what? Jersey, right? Their uniforms. What they put on. Paul's saying your old self was the world. You put on the mirror of culture, relationships, and experiences. You have to take that self off. And now you're going to be sinking deep into who Christ made you to be and putting on the clothing of Christ. And when you do that, you can only live that out when you look through the mirror that is Christ, because it will change your way of thinking. Instead of thinking you look one way through this mirror of culture, relationship, or experience, instead, you'll see you look this way in Christ Jesus. Instead of hearing those words of condemnation that this is never going to be good enough, I'm never going to be good enough, it's never going to get any better than this, there's no way that I'm going to make it through this, that's not Jesus, my friends. Because if we're breathing, he ain't done. If we're in this moment, he's not finished. All of those things, I'm telling you, if you hear those thoughts in your head right now, you're looking in the wrong mirror. You're not looking through the mirror of Christ. And your identity is in the wrong thing. And so Paul is talking about here, when we are in Christ Jesus, we got to take off that old self and put on the new self. And what ends up happening is, I want you to see, like, what happens for each and every one of us is when we are looking in the mirror, what we wear represents our identity. It's a window into our soul. So just like that sports team has a uniform, if I have a class ring, it means I graduated from something. I'm educated. I got a degree in something. Well, I guess it means I'm educated. Maybe I'm going too far. But, like, I have a degree in something. I've got an expensive receipt from somewhere. Like, if I have a class ring, if I've got a wedding ring, my identity is, my identity would be that I'm married. If I'm on a sports team, my identity would be from one team or the other. What happens is so many times what we clothe ourselves with represents who we are. The great theologian Deion Sanders said it this way. If you look good, you feel good. And if you feel good, you play good. And if you play good, they pay good. Like, that was one of his things. That's how he lived. So I would do it right. Like, you know, Deion Sanders would always say that. And, of course, Florida State guy, so I'm a huge fan. How we feel about ourselves affects our thinking. And so when we look in the mirror and it's the wrong mirror, how we feel about ourselves may not be who Christ made us to be. And so the reason it's so important is so many times what Paul is saying, how this plays out is the Gentiles, how this plays out for us is all of us were born. What did God say he was going to do when he made man? Make them in what? My image, right? But then sin entered. And all of us were born into it. And when we look in the mirror, we see Adam. We see sin. Until we believe and receive Christ Jesus, and we are who we are supposed to be in God's image, being molded and transformed. And so Paul is saying, don't live in the image of Adam anymore. Take that old image, that sin image off. Take that sin clothing off and instead step in the image of Christ and you'll know where your identity lies. Most people who graduate, the number one thing and the most frustrating question you get, I remember in high school was, what are you gonna do with life? Go home after this and get something to eat. I'm just going to take a next step. I don't know what else I'm going to do. You can't answer that question, honestly, because you've got to walk through some things. You're figuring out your identity. I love, like, as kids are starting to walk, that's another kind of thing that happens. As they're walking and they're talking, they're figuring out who they are. When they get into middle school, they're growing up, they're figuring out who they are, their identity. And that's just a process that keeps happening. The question is, what mirrors are we letting them look through? The mirror of Christ Jesus? The mirror of their friends? The mirror of what social media tells them they are, or the mirror of being picked last on the kickball team? Which mirror are we letting them look in? It's going to affect who they are. And so for each and every one of us, I want us to see we have to take off our old self daily. This is a practice that has to happen daily, even hourly at times, and put on our new self. Because so many times we'll look at the mirror and we'll feel good. Okay, Dan, you know, all right, yeah. Like right now, I got my hair cut the other week. I was happy because it hadn't grown in a long time. I heard mullets were coming back, but I don't think I'm going to be able to pull that off. Maybe a rat tail. I had one of those as a kid. I told you, you're going to learn a lot about me through this series. I had one of those as a kid. So like, you know, you look at the mirror and you put it down. You go sweat in the yard. Do you think you look the same in the mirror? No, you look a lot different, don't you? So that's for each and every one of us. We got to take our old self off and keep looking in the mirror of Christ, sometimes multiple times a day. Yet so many times in our life, we don't do that, do we? We look in the mirror when we get up in the morning, and we ain't worried about it till we get home. We get home at the end of the day. But if we treat Jesus that way and we go and we just see him first thing in the morning, and then we don't have anything else to do with him the rest of the day, and we wonder why we're so spent and broken when we go to bed at night, maybe it's because we look through the wrong mirror all day long instead of looking through the mirror of Christ. And I want to be clear here, because so many times you hear it in the church, and Paul talks about denying yourself. I want to be clear here when it comes to self-denial and identity. Self-denial does not mean not being who Christ created me to be. Self-denial means I take off my old self and the things that would stop me from being all God created me to be, the mission that he created me to be on, and I put on my new self every day. And that only happens when I take captive those thoughts. And for many of us, that's where we want to stop short, because you know what? Taking captive those thoughts, anytime you take something captive, it takes work, don't it? And sometimes you're just like, man, I don't have the energy today. And I'm telling you, even through the suffering, even through the trial, just like Christ Jesus did, it will help us be on our mission. Not denying who he created us to be, but denying the flesh, denying what the mirror says about us from culture, what the mirror says about who we should be from our relationships, the mirror says about who we should be from our past experiences. We need to look through the mirror of Christ daily. And that will lead us to self-denial in a different way, self-denial as flesh denial, not self-denial as our true identity in Christ. That's hard for us so many times. But if we look through the mirror of Christ, we can get through that all the way through. So I want to talk to you really quickly about something. I'm going to lay the groundwork for next week. You know, because I shared this with you. I'll be totally honest. I went through one semester of psychology, so I'm an expert, right? most people do. I read 3 tweets about it, so I know all about it. I know all the information, okay? So, like, for real, so I want to give this to you all the way through. I only did it once, so just hear me out. So I'm not by any means professional. Don't take this as professional advice, but it's going to help us in how we think, okay? There's this thing called a cognitive triangle. So if you're taking notes right now, if you're actually looking on the Bible app, it is on there. So wherever you are, I want you to draw a triangle. Just draw a triangle. Maybe you can do this mentally. Some folks are really good at doing that mentally. So draw a triangle for me. And it's a cognitive triangle. We'll talk about this more next week in cognitive reframing. But a cognitive triangle starts at the top with our thoughts. So put thoughts at the top of the triangle. Okay? Over to the right of the triangle, put behaviors. So thoughts, behaviors, and emotions. And it's a triangle, but you also can make it a loop. And what it means is our thoughts, behaviors, and emotions are all connected. As a matter of fact, if you drew a triangle and it was a big enough triangle, in the middle, I want you to put body, your physical body, in the middle of it. Now I made you a pyramid. And for those of you who are type A are really mad at me right now, but it's okay. Now, from thoughts to behaviors, I want you to do something. From thoughts and behaviors, I want you to write environment on that straight line. So our thoughts and behaviors, what that means is our thoughts and behaviors are influenced by our environment, what we grow up in, our environment, what's going on around us. Our thoughts and behaviors are influenced by our environment. And if you were to look on the other side, our emotion and thoughts are influenced by our circumstance. So the environment that we're in and our circumstance. Now, like I said, if you didn't draw that, it's okay. Don't worry about it. We're going to talk more about it next week. This is what I want you to see why it's so important. All of it's connected and all of it's a cycle. The environment we're in is controlled by our thoughts, good or bad. You can put 2 people in the same environment. One would see it as a happy place. One would see it as a dark place. Same exact environment. If you put folks who walk through abuse, unfortunately, they would see a closet as a safe haven. Others would see it as a dark place. Same environment. Different thoughts, different emotions, different behaviors, excuse me. The circumstance of it, the abuse, would change the behavior. Some people use a closet for clothes. Some people use a closet to get away from abuse. I'm saying that is an example right there specifically of how our thoughts, behaviors, and emotions are connected by that. Another one, let's have a happy one. Cake. People love cake. Put a cupcake out. You put cake out, we'll get back to having breakfast soon here. Like, you put breakfast on out, man, people, food. Like, thoughts, behaviors, emotions, you're all over it. You're ready to go. It affects the environment is the smell that's created. The circumstance is I am hungry. Like, that's a circumstance. So our thought, behavior, and emotions are all in a circle working together. And the reason your body's in the middle is all of those things influence what your body does. It influences the next step you take, or it influences you standing still and not growing. So why does all of this matter in our life? Why is this cognitive triangle? Why is it so important? I want you to see your thoughts are at the top because they're so important. They affect your behavior and your emotions all the way through. How you think changes things. And I'm telling you today, when it comes to your identity, how you think depends on the mirror that you look through. If you look through the culturally broken and foggy mirror that changes today and changes tomorrow, it's real hard to see if my bow tie's straight in a broken mirror, isn't it? If I look through my past experiences or my current experiences, it's warped in a way. It's distorted, believe it or not. I said warped, excuse me, distorted because of how I feel. These jeans make me look fat. I don't ask myself that. I probably should, because if I have to ask, I know the answer. So, like, that being said, like, I'm a guy, I know. But, like, if that's the case and that's it, like, if I have to ask, I have to ask. But for real, like, my experiences, am I looking through the mirror, or am I looking through relationships that can be completely distorted by the motives of the person that might be manipulating me? Now, those who think best for me, it's good to look through that mirror, right? But there are those who abuse. And so the reason that that matters, and the reason I wanted to give you that triangle, is all of these things are connected to our thoughts. So today, as we look at all of this, I don't want to get too crazy all the way through, is the reason that cognitive triangle is so important is so many times our experiences, more than anything, affect our thoughts. Our experience does. And culture will tell you your experience is your identity. We're living in it. We're living in it more than ever right now. And I want to tell you the reason that that's wrong is it means that you are chained to your past if your experience is your identity. And Christ Jesus came, lived the perfect sinless life we couldn't live, paid the penalty of that sin by dying on the cross for us, loved us enough. He left an empty tomb by raising again on the third day so that we aren't chained by our past experience. We aren't chained by our past mistake. We aren't chained to that, or not even chained to our future failures. We're set free from it. And so wherever you are right now, I just want to know, and I want you to know, we are called to work and look through the mirror of Christ. Because when I look at my experiences, that cognitive triangle, if you were to go into psychology, they would really call that a diagram or an anatomy of experiences. Your thoughts, behavior, and emotion affects your experiences. And it's all dictated by your circumstance, your environment, and this how you physically feel. It affects your physiology. It affects how you feel constantly. And the problem with that is our experiences can be completely wrong for how it makes us feel. Now, we can't change the experience, but we can change the meaning of it. And how we change the meaning of it is looking through the right mirror. So I'm noticing even in my life, when I struggle with the meaning of an experience in my life, I ask myself, what mirror am I looking through to get the experience of this? God, what are you trying to teach me in this? God, what are you trying to show me in this? Because if I look in the wrong mirror, it gets rough. As a matter of fact, it gets depressing when I look in the wrong mirror. But if we look in the mirror of Christ today, the good news is this. The good news is this. No matter what, if we are in Christ Jesus and we believe he is who he says he is and receive the free gift of salvation, as in Christ, I'm a child of God. When you look in that mirror, no matter what, wherever you are, in Christ, I'm a child of God. When you look in your mirror, when you get up in the morning, I want you to look in the mirror and say, I'm a child of God in Christ. In Christ, I'm a child of God. And if I'm a child of God and I have a loving Father who wants to love me, who wants to have a relationship for me, as a matter of fact, loves me enough that he would die rather not than to be with me. By giving his son, Jesus, and having a child and being a child of God, and I look through that mirror constantly, man, I can't help but experience joy regardless of what's going on around me. Yet so many times, I look through the wrong mirror. So if you've got your Bible, I'm going to flip to the left. Hang in here with me. Just one more chapter. I got Galatians 3. We're going to get there. And then it'll explain even more about these mirrors. And I believe, hopefully, we are seeing right now. And I believe Pentecost Sunday, if you will, if you know, you know. It's Pentecost Sunday, so I believe the Holy Spirit is revealing to you which mirror you've been looking in right now more than ever. But if you've got your Bible, let's go to Galatians 3 and see what Paul says in this as well and what the Bible says. And it's verse 26 through 29. Galatians 3, verse 26 through 29. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you were baptized into Christ, having what? Clothed yourself with Christ. Having sinking into being who you were created to be only through Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, slave or free, nor male or female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, heir to the promise. I want you to know, identity is who you currently are, but it's also who you are becoming when you're in Christ Jesus. It's who he is molding you to be. Instead of saying, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest one of all? Like, we're not saying that. In Christ Jesus, he's saying, hey, Tyler, I see you today. Tyler, I know what you're struggling with. Tyler, I know what you're going through. I will not leave you nor forsake you. I'm with you step by step. Trust me. Just take one step today. Trust. I'm making you to be exactly who I created you to be. Not who the world says you are. Not who they say they are. Not what your past says you are. I'm making you to be who I created created you to be. Just look through my mirror today because it's the only way you're going to get a clear picture. Clothe yourself in me, not in the world. And so what we have to see is when we talk about identity, it is a buzzword in the world we live in today. But identity's not the end goal. I even hear Christians say that so many times. I sometimes say it more than I should. Identity's not the main goal. Why were we created? Why did God create us? To honor and glorify him. 100%. Everything that we do, we are created to honor and glorify him, and how we live our life in a life of worship by loving God with all of our heart, mind, and soul, and loving others as ourselves. We are called to honor and glorify God, and the only way that I can honor and glorify God is if I look through the mirror of Christ and know what he says about me. And so today, really, if you got nothing out of today, if you didn't get to soak up anything outside of a cognitive triangle or outside of anything else, I want to start with where I began. What mirror are you looking through? As we saw in Snow White, right? Was it Snow White where the mirror was the wrong one? I can't remember. The mirror made the difference. You know how you start your day makes the difference. Because the thing that you enjoy will be the thing that you praise. And I'm telling you, if you'll look through the mirror of Jesus, you can't help but experience joy. You can't help but give him praise. Whether storms raise around you, whether everything around you crashes and burns, whether you're chained like Paul was in jail writing this letter, you gotta praise him. And look through the mirror of Christ. I'm putting on my old self every day. I'm putting on my new self. I'm not identified by the chains of this prison. I'm identified by who I am in Christ. I'm not identified by the murderer I was changing the church and persecuting the church in the past. I'm who I was created to be. In Christ, I'm doing everything I can to honor and glorify him. So today, more than anything else, maybe you just need to look and see what mirror you're looking in. Because in this world we live in, it's more connected than ever. Man, those mirrors are reflecting like never before, aren't they? But as we get to the end, I'm going to try something real quick. I didn't tell anybody. Do I have a volunteer really quickly? Doesn't matter. Let's see if we can do this right. Anybody? Yes, we got one. Come on down. All right. So we're going to try to read the light somehow from here. So the thing is, if we look, I'm going to try to do this right. I don't know if I'm blinding anyone. If I do this right, I can reflect, and if you see on camera, Tim is blind now, but you can see the light is being reflected into him. But the mirror of Christ does that. Not only does it show us who we were created to be, it reflects the light that only he can bring onto others. Thank you. That was good. It worked enough. Awesome. There's the mirror at the consolation prize. So as we get to the end here, that real life example, literally, the mirror I look through when I get up is the mirror that I live out. If I look through the mirror of culture, I'll try to live out the mirror of culture. If I look through the mirror of relationships, good, bad, or indifferent, I'll live that out. If I do it from my experiences, good, bad, and indifferent, I'll live that out. But if I look in the mirror of Christ every day, I'll not only get a clear picture of myself and who I'm created to be, I'll get to share him with everyone I come in contact with. Honor and glorify. Old self. New self. So as we close today, I want to say this. We all have a choice to make. It's like getting a free pair of shoes, right? You got a choice whether you put them on or not. Like the emperor found out he was naked. He had a choice whether he put on the clothes or not, even though he got his new groove, whatever it was. If you remember, that was a good movie back in the day. But you have a choice to make. You see, salvation's a free gift. It's not something you can earn. It's not something that you can look through specified things or earn your way to or work your way through or pray your way to or serve your way to. It's not something like that. No, no, no. See, salvation is a free gift that we receive by believing Jesus is who he says he is. You see, the only way that I can look through the mirror of Christ is to believe he is who he says he is and receive the free gift of salvation. Now, see, the choice is this. If I receive the free gift of salvation, I can find out who I was really created to be. But if I don't, I'll waste my whole life changing outfits, trying to be what I think I should be by the mirror that I'm looking at, all the way through just to get to the end of my life and realize that the closet ran empty and none of the clothes seemed to fit just right. And so today, the question is, when you look at your life, have you ever believed that Jesus is who he says he is? Have you ever received the free gift of salvation? Have you ever done that? You see, John 3:16 and 17 reminds us of why Jesus came, and it reminds us of how much God loves us. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. But pay attention to this, the most important part. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. In other words, those voices that say, condemnation, you're not enough, the lies that the enemy will spread over us, the false truth that makes us feel like we're not enough, those aren't Jesus Christ. Those are old clothes. But would you trust Jesus to be your Lord and Savior today so that you can be clothed to the new self? And I'm telling you, the cool part is you ain't got to change clothes again when you do that. They'll always fit just right. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, we pray as a family for the benefit of those who are coming to faith for the first time today. If that's you right now, we're all going to pray with you. And I want to help you believe that Jesus is who he says he is and receive this free gift of salvation. It's not the words of this prayer that saves you. It's the faith that Jesus is who he says he is. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, let's pray out loud together. Please repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner separated from you. I believe you came, lived the life I couldn't live, died the death I deserved for my sin on the cross, but loved me enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day so that I may have life. Come take over my life, Lord. Teach me to follow you step by step the rest of my life, the best way I know how. And with every head bowed and every eye closed, if that's you and you can say for the first time you've given your life to Christ, I'm going to count to three and ask you to respond. One, two, three. You can respond by raising your hand. You can respond by leaving us a comment. You can respond by reaching out throughout the week at 864-580-6698 or prayer@thevine.tv. If that's you, that's you. Don't let today go by without letting someone know. We have people who want to walk with you through this and celebrate with you. And for the rest of us, right now more than ever, you can look up. We're getting ready to worship. I want us to look through the mirror of Christ. I want us to realize no matter what we're walking through right now, there is no other love like the love of Christ. There is no other love like the love of the very creator of the universe who loves us enough that would rather die than not be with us. And so today, I just want you to look at what you're doing and throw down every mirror that you had. Every mirror, every problem, every worry, every anxiety that you brought into here, throw that mirror down to the ground. And in this moment, let's worship and look through the mirror of Christ and see that there is no other love like his. So if you'll stand and worship with us. Thank you. All right, today as we get ready to close, we're about to pray. But once again, I just want to ask you what mirror you're looking through, because it's the mirror you'll show to the world. It'll be the reflection you show to the world. And so today, we're going to pray, but I pray no matter what. Maybe you need to talk to somebody. Reach out to us at prayer@thevine.tv. We've got a team of folks that would love to pray with you and talk with you. Maybe you're realizing that you've been looking through the mirror of culture for a long time, the mirror of broken past relationships for a long time, or just a mirror of terrible traumatic experience, and you need to talk to somebody today. I want to be honest with you. Like I said last week, if we can't help you, we'll get you to a professional who can. But don't let today go by looking through the wrong mirror. So let's pray, and then we'll get ready to come back next week. Jesus, thank you for this time together. Thank you that there is no other love like yours. Jesus, right now more than ever, we need to be your light to the world. And the only way that we can be your light and get the hope of the gospel to a broken world is to look in the mirror that you have given us, to look in the mirror, to look through your mirror, to be who you created us to be. Jesus, we know that all are precious in your sight, red, yellow, black, and white, all the way through right now in this season. Jesus, the one thing that unifies us is your love. The one thing that unifies us is you. So more than ever, I pray that we would be unified in sharing your light to the ends of the earth. No matter what's going on in this world around us, no matter the chaos, the storms, everything that's happening around us, Jesus, I pray that we wouldn't look in that mirror of culture. We wouldn't look in the mirror of experience or look in the mirror of relationships, but instead we would look through your mirror and say, Jesus, who am I becoming in this? What do you want me to be? And that we would walk in obedience and faith, taking that step that you call us to take that day. Jesus, I pray that we would look in that mirror to experience the joy and peace that you died to give us. So as we go about this week, Jesus, help us to demolish the stronghold of the wrong mirror and instead look into your mirror so that our thoughts, behaviors, and emotions all flow to you. We love you, Jesus. We thank you that we get to do this. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Join us next week as we continue our mastermind series and wrap it up with cognitive reframing. Big word. We'll see you then. The best is still yet to come.